Good morning. My name is Paul Tower, and it's my privilege to welcome you all to Westminster and to welcome the online crew as well. We just have a couple announcements for you this morning. First and foremost, if you'd like to follow along with the worship service, the bulletin is available online at westminsterpca.net. And then additionally, we are doing our annual fundraiser in support of the Sumter Pregnancy Center for the Baby Bottle Boomerang. We're not sending the baby bottles out, obviously for sanitation reasons in the midst of a pandemic, but you can still support that by going out to the website. You can give by mailing in a check, or you can give by giving online if you'd like to support that. Additionally, for those of you who were praying for the Sumter Restore team this last week and for the last 2 weeks, I think that there was 5 or 6 churches across our community that were involved. Our church was able to make an impact on 3 homes last week. And if you'd like to see some more details, there's a wonderful article in the Sumter item that you can go and read and just kind of see some photos of the crew out there on the roof and see some of the impact that it's had across the community. And then a couple announcements that we don't have slides for is the men's prayer breakfast is starting back up. There's a prayer breakfast coming up this Saturday, August 15th at 7:30. It's going to be in the fellowship hall if you'd like to participate in that. And then additionally, the missions committee is moving forward with planning a missions trip up to Cherokee, North Carolina in October. So we're looking to go up there from October 3rd through 10th. We are not sure what kind of projects we're going to be able to get involved in between the community and the camp, but we do anticipate there is going to be some roofing projects. So I know some of y'all have some roofing experience. If you think that you will be free in that time frame, please consider signing up. Let me know or call the church office. And then additionally, if y'all can be praying for that, we have slowly built a good relationship both with the MTW camp and church up there in Cherokee, as well as reaching out into the community. And several people here today have been a part of that. So if as a church, if we can start praying for that, the dates are October 3rd through the 10th. And with that, please go ahead and take a moment to prepare for worship.
Good morning. I'm Nathan Thomas. I am the youth pastor here at Westminster. And let's go to worship as the Lord calls us to worship. This is from Psalm 86. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, nor are there any works like yours. All the nations you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with my whole heart. And I will glorify your name forever. For great is your steadfast love toward me. You have delivered me, delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. Let us stand if you are able and continue to worship by singing God our Maker. let's continue to sanctify ourselves and worship by confessing our sins before the Lord. Please confess with me. Most holy and merciful Father, we confess to you and to one another that we have sinned against you by what we have done, by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart and mind and strength. We have not fully loved our neighbors as ourselves. We have not always had in us the mind of Christ. You alone know how often we have grieved you by wasting your gifts, by wandering from your ways. Forgive us, we pray you, most merciful Father, and free us from our sin. Renew in us the grace and strength of your Holy Spirit for the sake of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior. Amen. Not only do we confess our sins, we need to be reminded that we have hope in our Redeemer. And so as we look at this passage from Galatians 4, let us confess our hope in the Savior. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because we are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So we are no longer slaves, but sons. And if sons, then heirs through God. Let us rejoice in this hope by standing and singing, There is a Redeemer. Let us continue to worship by going to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, this is the Sabbath that you have made. Lord, you have made us. You have made all things. It is in your hand that we rest. I pray that this morning we may find rest. Rest in your grace, rest in the salvation provided by your Son. Rest knowing that the Holy Spirit dwells within us. Father, we ask for your blessings. We come to you knowing that there are those of us who are sick, who are unwell, and we ask for healing. We ask for protection, Lord. We pray for the doctors and the nurses who are taking care of your people. Lord, sustain them. Give them wisdom. We pray for endurance and strength. Lord, we pray for the Sumter community. We give thanks for this week. Thank you for the Sumter Restore Project, the men and women who are able to lead it, and the people who are able to participate. We give thanks that people were able to receive new roofs. And we thank you for the provisions that you have given. Lord, we pray for the churches here in Sumter. We pray for unity between us. Lord, I ask that we are united in Christ and the salvation that he provides. I pray that we are able to minister to the Sumter community together to show forth the light of the gospel. And I pray especially for Aldersgate Church right down the road. I pray for Reverend David Day and his ministry. I pray for his sermon this morning. I ask that it convicts hearts and it changes souls. And the Spirit speaks through him. Lord, we pray for our sister church as well, New Harmony. We pray for Dr. Reed. We ask, Lord, that his sermon is moving and strong. We pray for the ministry of New Harmony, and Lord, we ask for your blessings upon them. And we also pray for our own ministries. Pray for Cheryl and the children's ministry. I pray for the Sunday school materials that they put together. I pray that our children may grow up in their faith. That their faith becomes their own, not just their parents, but the faith that they inherited becomes their own and is strong and convicting. And Father, we ask that you raise up a greater generation of saints. And I pray for the youth ministry, Lord. And I ask, Father, as the youth becomes a little bit younger this year, I ask, Lord, that they too may grow, that they may love each other well, that they be a shining light of the gospel in their schools, in their communities, and then in their friendships. Pray for the young adult ministry that has grown, Lord. I thank you for the many blessings that have come through it. We pray for the Wilsons as they lead that group. And we pray for the students and the young men and women who are entering in their careers. Pray that their fellowship with one another may be good and strong and united in you. Lord, we pray for the small groups. I ask, Father, that the small groups are able to stay connected, that you are able to build upon them spiritually and numerically. But Lord, I pray that we as a congregation may stay connected with one another so that we can minister to each other well, that we may love each other well. I pray for Stuart as he is about to preach this morning. I ask, Lord, that we are blessed by his sermon, that the words he preaches are not his own but yours, and that our hearts and our minds and our souls are moved towards you. Lord, we pray for the churches around the world. This is a difficult time to minister. This season upon us has made ministry hard. or harder than it usually normally is. But Lord, we ask for your blessings. And pray especially for John Stodgill III. I ask, Lord, that you give him strength in the face of persecution. You give him joy in his ministry. I pray that his needs are met. That he doesn't have to worry about finances or any of the other things, but he can focus on his family and ministry. And I pray that you bless it, that it may be strong. Lord, we turn to you because, again, all things are in your hands. And so we ask for your blessings, and I pray that we may find rest in your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Nathan. I'm Stuart Mizell, the pastor here, and it's good to see all of you who are here with us today, and I'm thankful for all the folks who can come via online, and would invite you to look at the scriptures, whether it's on the screen here or in a copy that you have in your hand, with Galatians chapter 5. We're starting in verse 13, and we're reading through verse 26. We're continuing our series called The Church in the Time of COVID-19. And in this series, what we've been basically saying is when things are uncertain, and obviously things are uncertain, no one knows what tomorrow will bring any day, but particularly when you're in the middle of a pandemic, who knows what's going to happen with schools? Who knows what's going to happen with fall and winter? Who knows what's going to happen once flu season also kicks in? There's a lot of unknowns. So when things are uncertain, what are we, the followers of Christ, to know for certain and to do those things? And that's what we've been talking about for weeks now. Today we're going to be looking at Galatians 5, verses 13 through 26, to tell us a little bit more about when things are uncertain, here's something that we can know for certain. So here's what God's Word has to say from Galatians chapter 5. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Let me pray for us. Holy Spirit, I pray that today you would help us to see what it means to walk by you, that you would work within each of us, that you would fill each of us, that you would empower each of us to not only know, but also live out the life that you have for us in Christ. And so, Jesus, be our authority that speaks to us today by your Spirit. And Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son and the gift of your Spirit. Thank you for uniting us to yourself in Christ through the Spirit. And now let our lives show us how our lives can reflect more and more of who you are and what you called us to be. We pray in the name of Jesus and for his glory along with you, Father and Holy Spirit, our one true God. Amen. When I was in college, I took a class on a literature class where I was introduced to a man named Franz Kafka. And I don't know if any of you have read anything of his. His most famous short story is about Gregor Samsa, who wakes up one morning and finds himself turned into an insect. And so you can imagine what kinds of stories Franz Kafka writes. They're very strange stories. And recently, over the summer, I read the short story, The Hunger Artist, by Franz Kafka. And if you've never heard of a hunger artist, let me explain what this story is about. Basically, he's an artist who locks himself up in a cage in a public area, and he fasts. He makes himself hungry for long periods of time, and that is his performance. He allows people to come and watch him sit in a cage and not eat for days and weeks on end. And that's what the story is all about. Strange, right? And at the end of his performance, of course, he's so weak, he's so emaciated, he's so feeble, he's so listless that he's pretty much unable to do much of anything. And so people have to actually go into the cage, pick him up, carry him to a table, sit him down at the table, and give him food so that he can be strengthened. Now, if you think that's crazy, I agree with you. There's no way I would be a hunger artist. That's just ridiculous sounding. And yet, may I challenge all of us to think that we have more in common with this hunger artist than we'd like to admit. You see, God has given us certain resources to fill us, to empower us for service, to give us what we really need to live a life that reflects more and more of Jesus. And yet sometimes we lock ourselves up in a proverbial cage and refuse to engage in those resources. Not for a performance, but there may be all kinds of reasons why. But we do it just the same. Jesus has called us to great heights, church. And we are beleaguered by the fallenness of this world. We need power. We need strength. We need ability. We need more than we are able to produce on our own. And that's part of what Paul is addressing in this passage. So we're going to say that even in uncertain times, what Paul tells us today by the Holy Spirit is that we can be certain of our calling to walk by the Spirit. Even in uncertain times, we can be certain of our calling to walk by the Spirit. Let's take a look at the context here. Paul wrote Galatians to a church in Galatia because there were these certain Jewish people who were coming in, and they were encouraging actually telling people that they needed to be circumcised. They needed to follow certain things of the law in order to be right with God, in order to be in a right relationship with God. And Paul was saying, no. That's not how you have a right relationship with God. It's through Jesus Christ, through his death and resurrection. That's the only way that we can have a right relationship with God. As we said in our confession of hope today, at the right time, God sent forth his Son to be our Redeemer. And then in this particular passage, Paul is addressing some friction that has come up in the church. People who are envious, fighting, divisive. And he says in verse 13, look, you are called to freedom. Don't use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, that is, to give in to your sin, but serve one another through love. For the whole law is summed up in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then he says, if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. I actually really appreciate that phrase. What he's saying is if you're biting each other with your comments, with your words, with your actions, if you are doing those things, watch out that you're not totally consumed. The church in Galatia was going through difficult circumstances, and it had shaken them. And as we heard last week, again, the words of Peggy McCrite, a former member here, what's down in the well comes up in the bucket. Whenever we are shaken, we see what's really down deep. And what was down deep in the Galatian church? Envy, jealousy, backbiting, anger, frustration with one another, all those things. Now, move that towards today, and let's think about what this pandemic has shaken us and what's coming out of us. I tried to come up with a little list. Some are positive. Some things that have come out of us are positive. But then there are some negative things, too. Let's take a look at the negative things, and here's my list. Fear, anxiety, frustration, anger, hatred, impatience, selfishness, disunity, strife, hostility, jealousy, envy, greed, conceit. All of those things have happened to someone you know, or maybe even yourself. They've come out during this pandemic. And as I looked at that list, it's remarkable how similar some of those things are to the works of the flesh that are spelled out in verses 19 through 21. And so Paul, writing under the inspiration of the Spirit, says to the church then, and the Spirit is saying to us today, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Walk by the Spirit, and these things that when you're shaken, what will come out won't be those things as much as it will be what the Spirit produces in you. So today we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit and what it means to walk by the Spirit. Let me say a few caveats before we get started into the whole thing. First of all, I realize that we as Presbyterians, as Reformed folks, we tend, for some reason or another, not to talk about the Holy Spirit very much. I don't know if that's because we're fearful of going full-blown charismatic and Pentecostal, or if we're just afraid of what might happen. Ooh, somebody might actually raise their hands or something, and that would be, whew, wow. I don't know what it is, but for some reason we don't talk about the Spirit very much. But what's really interesting is if you look at our past, John Calvin is the one who supposedly helped get this church started in terms of his theology and the way he read the scriptures and that sort of thing. And you know what people who live in our century call John Calvin? The theologian of the Holy Spirit. Because Calvin talked about the Holy Spirit all the time. So there's a disconnect here, and I hope that this will, at least in some ways, rectify that. But second, and this is the other caveat that I want to give all to you, I'm not an expert on the Holy Spirit, all right? I have been in Presbyterian circles for years, and there's not been like a big push towards, hey, let's talk about what it means to walk by the Spirit. In fact, one of the most infuriating things to me is whenever these passages are taught, and I'm thinking, yes, somebody's finally going to talk to me about what it means to walk by the Spirit, they never get to it. They just said, do it. Walk by the Spirit. And you're left going, okay, what does that look like? What does it mean? And so I just want to say I am not an expert speaking to novices here. I am a fellow needy person wanting to grow and learn with you about what it means to walk by the Spirit. All right? So with that in mind, let's talk about what it means to walk by the Spirit. We could go on and on and on for ages about this, really, but at the very least, when we're talking about walking by the Spirit, at the very least, this means relying on the enabling power of the Spirit in our everyday experience. At the very least, walking by the Spirit means relying on the Spirit, relying on the enabling power of the Spirit in our everyday experience. And that's what Paul is talking about here. Now, before we dive in a little deeper, let's consider an illustration. Imagine that you have a lemon of a car. For some of us, that's not hard to do. I mean, this is a jalopy. This is a terrible car. You could put the pedal to the metal of your car and the speed maxes out at 30 miles per hour. I mean, it won't go any faster. That's as fast as it can go. And then one day, a friend of yours says, hey, I think I can fix your car. And you say, okay, give it your best shot. And so he goes in and he does some things. Maybe he replaces an engine. I don't know enough about cars to know what would fix that problem, but he fixes it. And then he brings the car back to you and he says, hey man, now this car, I have souped it up. And now you can make this car go 0 to 60 in 3 seconds. I've tested it out for myself. It'll do it, man. Get in there and drive. And you get in the car and you drive 30. And you never go over 30 because that's what you're used to. That's a little bit what it's like as a Christian, a follower of Christ, trying to live a Christian life and not relying on the Spirit. It's like saying, okay, well, this is all I know, so I'll just continue to cruise along at 30 when God's calling you to get on the interstate and go 70, baby. But 30's all we know. We're not relying on the power that's been given to us. Walking by the Spirit at the very least means relying on the Spirit, relying on the power of the Spirit. And this relying on the power of the Spirit to do what God has called us to do. And think about it. The power of the Holy Spirit is the power that raised Jesus from the dead. That power has been given to us because the Holy Spirit resides in us. Now, let me just say, that does not mean that walking by the Holy Spirit is easy. It's not going to be a walk in the park, as they say. It's not like we're coasting along with a gentle breeze blowing through our hair. No, there is conflict. This passage talks about it. Life as a Christian is more like a battlefield than it is a playground. And in verse 17, we see Paul mentioning this. The reason we need to walk by the Spirit is this. The desires of the flesh, those sinful desires that are inside us, are against the Spirit. And the Spirit, the desires of the Spirit, are against those sinful desires of the flesh. They're opposed to each other, and they keep us from doing the things we want to do. Now, the Holy Spirit resides in us, but so does those sinful desires. And what Paul is saying, you have to walk by the Spirit to enable us to say yes to what is good and no to what is evil, no to our sinful desires. And that's not always easy. Again, not a walk in the park, more like a war, more like a battle. But at the same time, we have the resources and power of the Holy Spirit giving us what we need in order to do this. We can start to say no to temptation. And my hope is we'll talk more about this next week. And say yes to righteousness. And we can do this because our Heavenly Father has given us life in Christ by the Spirit. That's where the power comes from. Our Heavenly Father, who loves us, who gave His Son for us, who loved us even when we were sinners and we were rebels, He has loved us and He's given us life. And that life is found in His Son, and we are connected to the Son by the Spirit residing in us. As Paul puts it in verse 25, if we live by the Spirit, in other words, if we have life that has come from the Spirit, and that life is found in Christ, then let us also keep in step with the Spirit. In other words, you've been given, we have been given life. And not just eternal life in the sense of, okay, well, when I die, I will continue to live forever. No, it is a life from God. A life that has joy and righteousness. A life that has peace. A life that has power. This life by the Spirit is really about connecting us to the one who gave us life, Christ. Life is found in Jesus. Because Jesus is the life, right? He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. But if we come through Him, we not only have access to the Father, we have life, and we have it to the full. That's what Jesus says, not Stuart, Jesus. He came that we might have life and have it to the full. And so walking by the Spirit is very similar, if not connected, to abiding in Christ. You remember, or maybe you remember what Jesus says in John 15, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. So what we're seeing here is that walking by the Spirit and abiding in Christ, they're connected. As I walk by the Spirit, I am abiding in Christ. I am relying on the power of Christ that's given to me by the Holy Spirit. I'm keeping close communion with my God. I am leaning on Him. I'm resting on Him. I'm pouring out my heart to Him in prayer. I'm relying on Him as the fountain of life and strength, as my companion and friend. And so, What Paul gives us in this passage is that the more we consciously rely on the Spirit, the more we will see the Spirit's fruit in our lives. Let me say that again. The more we consciously rely on the Spirit, the more we will see the Spirit's fruit in our lives. So let me ask you, and you don't have to raise your hand. I mean, I know we're all Presbyterians. We don't like to do that stuff. How many of you want to bear fruit for the glory of God? How many of us want to see the fruit that Jesus is talking about in John 15 coming out of us like crazy? How many of us want to see the fruit of the Spirit in our lives? Then what we need to do is consciously rely on the Spirit. And the more we do that, the more we will see the Spirit's fruit in our lives. It is fascinating to me when Paul goes into this. He says, I say, walk by the Spirit, verse 16. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And then in verse 18, he says, but if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. But then verse 19, he says, the works of the flesh are evident. And then he goes through this whole list. Not a very pretty list, is it? Those are the works of the flesh. If I'm going to work hard at something, this is what I produce apart from the Spirit. I produce sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, whatever it is. That's what I produce apart from the Spirit. That's what you produce apart from the Spirit. And you may say, well, I've never participated in some of those things. Well, yeah, but I bet you've participated in at least some of those things. Because we all have. We're all sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. Because those are the works of the flesh. That's what happens when we say, I can do this on my own. That's what we produce. But he contrasts that in verse 22, and he says, the fruit of the Spirit, not the works of us under the influence of the Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit. When we're relying on the Spirit, when we're resting in the Spirit, when we are yielding to the Spirit, when we are giving in to the Spirit, that's when we see love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. As you look at that list, are there any that stand out to you that you go, oh man, I just do not have that in my life? Maybe it's patience. When life is uncertain, it's hard to be patient, right? Maybe it's joy. When you've been shaken to your core, and you have no idea what tomorrow will bring, it's hard to be joyful. And yet, the Spirit brings both patience and joy. Maybe it's kindness. You get so angry at the people who disagree with you about what we should do, and you can't show any kindness to them because they're on the other side, advocating those things that are so awful. Oh my goodness, can you believe that that person says we should do this? Okay, so they do. Maybe they know something that we don't know. Or maybe they just need to know more information. Or who knows, but at least be kind, right? We can be kind. The Holy Spirit can produce kindness in us. Maybe it's self-control. Maybe, you know, this weird period of time that we're in where things are just not normal, you find yourself going to those things that you would never do any other time. Those things that you want to stay hidden and in the dark. Because this is a hard time, and you run to the things that give you a little bit of satisfaction in the moment. And what we need is self-control to say no to those things and say yes to what is right, what is good, what is beautiful, what is sure, what is perfect, what is comes from Jesus. And as verse 24 says, those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. This is monumental, all right? What Paul is saying there is the same thing he said in Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. And it's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. It's Christ by the Spirit. My sinful desires have already been crucified at the cross. They have already been nailed to the cross. And now I am to walk by the Spirit in that truth. Again, that doesn't mean that the sins aren't there. That doesn't mean that you don't have to fight. That doesn't mean that you're not ever going to give in, but it does mean this. We have power by the Spirit to start saying no to those things and to say yes to what God has for us. So, again, I've told you what really frustrates me is when pastors talk about what it means to walk by the Spirit, but they don't talk about what it means to walk by the Spirit. So I'm just going to give you three very, very, very simple ways to, if you've never thought, I'm walking by the Spirit, or I know how to walk by the Spirit, and you're a novice, okay, let's just say we're all novices. How do you even get started? I mean, the first thing is to recognize that we need the Holy Spirit. That's the first thing to recognize. And God has graciously given the Holy Spirit to us. Where our need is, our Heavenly Father, who knows how to give good gifts to His children, has given us one of the greatest gifts He could give us, Himself in the form of Christ and Himself in the form of the Holy Spirit residing in us to give us what we need to live the way He calls us to be His children indeed. Okay, so I know that. Now what do I do, right? Well, first of all, and this is so simple that I feel like I'm talking down to you. And I'm not trying to. It's just that sometimes I feel like, you know, the most profound things are sometimes the most simple things. How do you walk by the Spirit? Well, you pray. Nathan preached a message just recently about praying continually, praying without ceasing, and what that looks like. Well, when we pray, we're admitting we have a need. And so one of the things I've been doing is every day just saying, Holy Spirit, I need you today. I need you to show me what it means to walk by you. Holy Spirit, I need you to fill me. I need you to show me how to become more like Christ. I need your power in me because I cannot do this on my own. I need you to show me more of Jesus so that I will grow in Him. So that's first, pray. Second, engage with the Scriptures. Now follow this logic. Are you ready? Okay, I want you to look up here. Just look up here. So I know that you're paying attention, all right? Because this is so simple, but I feel like we overlook it. All right, we believe that the Scriptures are the Word of God, right? We believe that the Scriptures were inspired by the Holy Spirit. God breathed out His Word, and the Spirit carried along certain people so that what they wrote were not only their words, but the very Word of God to His church. All right, so if you want to walk with the Spirit, walk by the Spirit, where do you go to find out what the Spirit wants you to do? You can do it. The Scriptures, right? The Scriptures. You go to the scriptures, and when you, I want you to do something this week. Just try it. When you go to the scriptures, don't just, you know, have your little checklist, okay, I checked this off. When you read the scriptures or listen to the scriptures or whatever it is that you do to feed your soul, when you go, think, God is speaking to me right now. Because that's what's happening. God is speaking to me. These words are His words, not just to the church in general, but to me. And I am communing by the Holy Spirit with my Savior when I'm reading or listening to His word. And so I want to rely on Holy Spirit. What am I supposed to do today? Well, let me look at the scriptures. Oh, look, here it says, you know, love one another. Okay, how do I do that? Like you go back to prayer. Help me to love those who are hard to love. I need your help there. And then third, not only would you pray and engage with the scriptures, but, and this is, I think this is the big one. This is the hard one. Believe it's true. Believe it's true. If I can be quite honest, this is the one that I fail on all the time. Do I really believe that if I walk by the Spirit, I can grow in saying no to sin? Or do I think, well, no, it can't be that easy. And again, it's not easy, but it can't be that simple. I've got to do something. I've got to work hard. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. No. Paul is saying if you work hard at it, you're going to produce the works of the flesh. What you do is you rely on the Spirit. You walk by the Spirit. You believe that the Holy Spirit really is able to do this in you and make you more like Jesus. Do you believe it? And I would say if you don't, if you're like me, you go back to step one and you pray. You pray, Holy Spirit, I just don't believe it right now. Help me believe. Help me in my unbelief. I want to believe this is really true. I remember when all three of my kids were growing up. It was a joy to see them take those first steps. But before they could take their first steps by themselves, they needed our help. And there were often times where, you know, I would take my fingers like this and I would put them in their little hands and I would walk like this and they would take little baby steps forward, right? They were relying on me to help them walk. I think as Christians, we sometimes think that we grow up out of that stage and we become adults and I can walk on my own. I don't need Jesus. I don't need the Holy Spirit. I don't really need the Father except for every once in a while when I get in trouble. It's not true. As long as we stay in this life, we will need the work of the Spirit. We will need the power of the Spirit in our lives every single day to help us to walk. Just like that little toddler holding on to his daddy's fingers. And so, let's walk by the Spirit. Let's grow in our reliance on the Spirit and thus reflect more and more of Christ in our lives. Let me pray for us. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would help us to rely on you because we want to produce fruit, fruit that will last, fruit that will be to our Father's glory. We want to reflect more of Jesus, the one who died for us and rose from the dead for us, that we would have life and have it to the full. We want to see in each of us, myself and in all of these folks, we want to see love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We want to see that in abundance. In order for that to happen, we need you. So, Holy Spirit, will you teach us to pray? Will you teach us? Will you teach us to go to the Scriptures and hear your voice and commune with you? Will you teach us to believe? Will you teach us how to walk in your power and to be connected to Jesus and to know the love of our Father in the depths of our soul, that it is your joy to give us all of that? We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
All right, let's stand and sing and continue worship by singing "Baptized into Your Name, Most Holy."
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forevermore. Amen.